Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Now, it's been a very good week for the Irish at Cheltenham, for the punters, the jockeys, the owners and the trainers. And one trainer in particular had an incredible week. Willie Mullins set a record for Cheltenham when he reached the magical figure of 100 wins on the second day of the festival. Willie Mullins, good morning to you. Thanks for taking the call and congratulations.
Thank you, Miriam. Your last piece of music certainly blew away the cobwebs this morning.
So... Definitely.
We've had a great week. Thank you.
I mean, I'm going to talk about the Gold Cup in a moment, but tell me about that bumper on Tuesday, the one that got you to 100.
Well, it was fantastic that Patrick was riding it. You know, that just made it extra special. The horse, we had what? The runners, I think, in the bumper. He asked me which horse he should ride. I thought You Ought to Know would be the best one. He had it down to Cantico and Jasmine DeVoe, and for luck, he picked the right one and gave it the coolest ride. I mean, I thought he was way too far off the pace. And that's a good thing that we don't have microphones between the trainer and the jockey. I would have been telling him to be laying up much closer. But when you see fellows riding at the top of the game like Patrick and Paul Townsend, and they're doing things in races that visually you'd say that's not right, you know, be in a different position. But they're riding with such confidence, and they know what's underneath them, which you and I can't see looking at it. And when you're riding in that zone, I think you can just make things happen around you. You can make the other riders do things differently as well, because they're all watching you. So to get to 100 with your son riding was just fantastic. But whoever dreamt it would happen?
Unbelievable.
I remember when we... Yeah, sorry.
No,
yeah.
Go on, Willie, go on.
Yeah, I mean, we started off in Cheltenham in 95 with Tourist Attraction, the North Kildare Racing Club. And I remember coming home from... Myself and Jackie coming home from Cheltenham that year with one winner, thinking we might never, ever be back again. But it was a lifetime achievement for Irish trainers at the time, because the Irish weren't having winners in Cheltenham. And if you went over there and got one winner, I thought, wow, we might never be back in this position. And that's what I thought at the time. There was a lifetime achievement achieved. And here we are at 100. That's just off the charts, unbelievable. No one ever thought it could be possible. So we can't comprehend it, really.
It's extraordinary, Willie. I mean, I was reading all the stuff, people are saying it's such an achievement. When you think back in your quiet moments and even chatting to your wife, Jackie, who I know is always right by your side, watching your son, Patrick, there, when, why do you think you've been so successful? What do you think made it so?
We probably 95 was... Would it have been the start of the sort of Celtic Tiger, and Irish people were getting money, and the, you know, when people are doing well, they want a racehorse. It's a great social outlet, and we built up a huge stable up to sort of 2008 when the crash came. But we were lucky; a lot of our owners had money other than. You know, they didn't lose as much money as maybe some trainers. So when they say as the stuff hit the fan and it all washed out 2009-10, we probably had more nicer horses. We didn't have to sell them, and whereas a lot of people had to sell their stock, we were probably left in a better position. So we were in a lucky position at the time, and we probably made use of it. And then I think the other thing, which is a lot of the success of the people that we have around us here, like myself and Jackie in the business for years, son Patrick, he's been riding, brought up in it. Then David Casey, you know, with us for 25 years. Ruby Walsh started his career here. And they're all the people in the yard, not to talk of the managers, barn managers and head people and Ben Delmer, who is our head travelling lad, the experience they have behind them, you can't go out and hire that experience or buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, so the whole thing is a sort of a perfect storm. Everyone is working their own way, and I just let them get on with it. I remember I was ill in the hospital, and Noel O'Callaghan, Davenport Hotel, Alexander mm-hmm. Hotel, Noel, came into me now, Willie, said, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Do the 3 Ds, decide, delegate, and disappear. And at that time, you know, and that was great, absolutely fantastic advice. Myself and Jackie just thought about it. And we were doing everything, myself and Jackie, and maybe one or two head people. And I'd never had an assistant trainer. I didn't want one. I always thought a lot of English trainers ruined their careers by having assistant trainers, that when the assistant trainer left the yard to start his own yard, he usually brought about a quarter of the yard's owners with him, and it didn't work. So we had to just change completely. And Jackie was very good at that, delegating people. Whereas me, I would say, that man is not old enough, he hasn't enough experience yet. And Jackie would just give the person the responsibility, and we were fascinated watching people with more responsibility, how they grew in their own job and they got confidence. Mm. And then they just took over and probably did the job better than us, because they had more time and it was their sole part of the business to run. And then that left me freer to do what I'm good at, either training and liaising with people and meeting people. And, you know, and that's in a minute, I suppose, that's the nutshell of our business.
I love that advice from Noel O'Callaghan. I've written it down. Decide, delegate, disappear. Do you still use that advice?
All the time. Although I got another one last night after the rugby match. So.
Oh, great. Share it.
Yeah. ODD, order, dine and dash. So get out of the place before everyone else came in. So that was Seamus Hennessy from Limerick gave me that advice. But no, the 3 Ds is a great principle. But I found it very hard to apply it in the beginning, but when I see the way it works, it's extraordinary.
Order, dine, dash, that's good too. Listen, was there one win, one horse that, I know it's very hard, Willie Mullins, but that stands out for you in all the time, maybe since Cheltenham 1995, your first win? Was it winning the Gold Cup for the first time? Was it Hurricane Fly? What was it?
I think, we've had some fantastic horses there, and I don't want to, you know, I love Hurricane Fly, I love winning the Gold Cup, but I think putting my son up to ride a winner in Cheltenham, Patrick on Cousin Vinny, on the day, that was so special, you know. So anyone, like Patrick is a tall guy, and I never dreamt he'd be as good or be able to ride still because of his height and weight, but his huge commitment. And I just look at the sort of role models that he would have looked at, Ruby Walsh and Tony McCoy. Mm. And, you know, the commitment to diet and to, you know, he's 6'1" plus, and he has to probably lose 5 to 7 pounds nearly every day.
Wow.
that he rides. And that sort of thing, putting your own son up to ride a winner in Cheltenham was a big moment for myself and Jackie. But when going on to role models, our role models were sort of Barry Brogan, Tommy Carberry, and a few more who were pure lunatics. So when people had winners, then they went out separated, swinging off rasses and everything, and we thought that was the way to do it. And then when the other guys come in, and I see the younger generation following the role that Tony McCoy, the commitment, and Ruby put in, and they rode professionally, and they acted professionally, so professionally, they brought the game on huge, and that's when I realised what it meant to have good role models in your sport, in any sport.
Now, of course, you won the Gold Cup last year with Galopin Deschamps. You won it again this year. At what moment, when you're watching that race the other day, Willie, at what moment do you think you have it, Paul's done it, or was there a moment when you were nervous?
Well, the horse jumped off, and he always looked very content, in a good position, and Paul had him in a good position. Paul's body language was good the whole way, and I thought, over the third last, that's fine. You know, this, all he has to do is jump two, and I think he'll beat what's around him. And then this loose horse came up faster, slow, and my heart started to pump, and I just, or you know, I thought the parade ring gate is between the second last and the last, and that's normally where loose horses will go for. They will head, you know, they'll just catch it in their eye and then they'll turn right. But Paul, I could see Paul trying to get up his inside, so if the horse turns right, it wouldn't cross him. And then he had to go, and he just made the commitment to go. And for luck, the loose horse stayed straight. So over the last, until Paul passed the loose horse halfway up the running, I was, my heart was in my mouth. Yeah.
How does your heart not give up on you?
Win it in the last 100 yards, you know.
Can Jackie watch the races, like especially when Patrick's running? Does she do what a lot of mothers would do? Does she hide her eyes? I mean, can she watch him?
She hides.
Of course.
I mean, she never watches. If I'm at home, we're watching racing. She'll come in after the race and watch a replay. Can't watch it. And I'd say it's the same at the races. She goes to the parade ring and probably turns her head away, listens to the commentary maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Now listen, your mum Maureen, of course, was very involved in racing, Willie. She only died recently, so sorry about that, last month.
Thank you.
I'd imagine that she would have been really proud of your achievements this week.
Hugely. No, that was the one thing.
Oh, Willie.
Yeah, there was no one to ring up. That's the racing. That was my only disappointment of the week.
She was a wonderful woman. She adored you all and you loved her so much, didn't you, Willie?
Loved her racing, loved meeting people and going to Tramore, going to Thurles, going to Cheltenham. They were all the same to her. In the car, I'd ring her up. Do you want to go racing? Give me 5 minutes. Hat, bag, coat, lipstick, boots, and away. To be ready, you know, it wouldn't be this thing, waiting 2 hours to get ready and in and gone. And that's it. You know, it's just, it was hugely important in her life. I thought during COVID, I thought she wouldn't make it through. It was just so, you know, like anyone in COVID, stuck at home on their own. And then I brought her racing after COVID to Punchestown one day, and I said to myself, now one day Punchestown will be plenty. And you know, the next morning she was on the phone, are we going? So I brought her 5 days to Punchestown, not tired, not anything, but she was back to herself. And I just said, God, it's so important for people to get out and have something to look forward to. And she went from, I thought, you know, she wouldn't be around too long. By the fifth day at Punchestown, she was up and running as if it were into the electricity, you know, up. And it showed me how important racing can be in people's lives socially. It's a great day out. Nowadays, I think there's so much emphasis on betting and gambling, which I'm not a fan of. I know it probably supports our game, but we'll miss the point that racing is such a social event. You know, you take Absurd, the horse that won the other day, the HOS syndicate. Yeah. And HOS is three different families, but they're all the grandchildren of the lady who owns the horse or buys the horse. And the horse is there as a get-together for all the family. Now, I know only one of the grandchildren made the meeting the other day, but most of the race meetings, the big meetings, they all go. And it, you know, nowadays we all tend to only meet maybe at funerals, things like that. But they use it as a social get-together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's where racing is fantastic socially. You know, another friend of mine who died, Brendan Doyle. Do you remember him, Dr. Brendan Doyle from Carlow? We have a race in... You might have when you lived down here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead of sort of having a memorial mass, we sponsored a race called the Doc's Bumper. And all his friends come, his family comes, his son comes back from Dubai. And, you know, we have a sort of a luncheon. It's used as a get-together, and that, to me, is where racing needs to... I'd love to see racing be advertised more for socially getting people together rather Absolutely. Than just gambling.
Remind listeners about how your mum, Maureen, and your dad, Paddy, they set up the business originally. And, of course, they famously trained Dawn Run, didn't they? The famous Gold Cup winner.
Yes, yes. I mean, they started off, my father was always interested in horses, and they started off very small. You know, he just set up on a small property beside Dininga, the home farm in Dininga, and they just started off with doing everything themselves, and it was so much poorer that time. You know, they used to say to me, you know, we just had no money. There was no cash going around in the sort of 40s and 50s. And we don't realize how lucky we are, I think. And he said a lot of the time his training fees, his owners paid him in hay and straw and feeds. And you had horses that if they got injured, you put them by for a year and brought them back. Whereas nowadays, there's so much income for people. The type of owners we have are different. If a horse, of course you wait, if it's a good horse, you'll give it a year off, but most owners would just buy a new horse. And then the likes of Dawn Run came along. First of all, my father trained Hurry Harriet to win the Champion Stakes and in Newmarket in 73, and that was huge because there was no such thing as all-weather gallops. You know, we trained on a plough gallop in the summer and in stubble fields in the winter. And to do that, you know, none of the group here, none of the trainers in Ireland at the moment could comprehend that. It's absolutely unbelievable. But then Dawn Run came along. Mrs. Hill owned Dawn Run and won the Champion Hurl, the Gold Cup, and that lifted the whole thing. You know, it had never been done before. It might never be done again. I have a horse, I think, I'm looking at Ballyburn, the horse that won the other day. He is a horse that might have the capability to do that. Yeah. And, you know, so anyway, we might have a crack at that, but I'll have to have a word with Ronnie Bartlett and after the owner and see, are they interested in doing that? And they probably would be.
Before I let you go, I was lucky enough, Willie, to meet your wonderful mother 10 years ago. I actually went down to Garran, recorded a programme. Your brother, Tony, was there too. If it's okay, I'm going to play a short clip of your mum from that conversation. I absolutely loved her. And here she is, speaking about meeting the Queen Mum.
So then the Queen Mother asked me where he was. So I said that he had gone up to the stable with Dawn Run. And she said, could we have Dawn Run and your husband back down in the ring? But when we got down there, it was crammed all around, 5 deep, I would say. And she stayed there talking for nearly half an hour. She was very thoughtful. She obviously had read the press about Tony being dropped, and Paddy just couldn't face it. And he was a very quiet person, really. Mm. Very quiet person. But he never... And funny thing, I would say that tape of the Dawn Run wasn't paid more than 3 times in the house. Isn't that extraordinary?
Oh, like father, like son. Everyone says you're very modest, Willie Mullins. Look, after the 100, your wife Jackie said you don't sit back too often to reflect. It's always what's next. But are you allowing yourself this weekend just a relaxation and looking back at what a great week you've had?
Oh, definitely, yep. Today will be, take the day off, and probably tomorrow as well. just recover from Cheltenham and the rugby match yesterday. So, nice quiet time.
Well, Willie Mullins, record-breaking Cheltenham trainer. You're an amazing trainer. You're also a lovely guy. Thank you very much for speaking to me this morning, and enjoy the rest of your St. Patrick's Day.
Likewise. Thank you, Miriam. Cheers.
Mind yourself. Bye. Take care. We'll take a break. So much lovely reaction there to our interview with Willie Mullins. An amazing interview, says Peter, with Willie this morning. Insightful, emotional, leaves you with a lump in your throat. Pat says, congrats and sincere sympathy to Willie. I know very little about racing, but I recognise the sound of grief. And Rosemary says, what a lovely interview with Willie. So quiet, modest and reflective and a real gentleman.